Amen. There are some people who want the blessing of God, but don't want the program and the process of God. There are some people who want salvation, but who do not want the Savior. And Jesus still keeps saying, I am the way, I'm the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father except through me. He's still saying, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believes in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Amen. You have your personal copy of the world's bestseller. Let me call your attention to Psalms chapter 8. Psalms chapter 8. We're going to look at the first six verses. I'm going to ask you to read these passages after me. Psalms chapter 8, verses 1 through 6. The first book of Psalms, the eighth chapter of the book of Psalms. Have that say amen. O Lord. Our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth, who has set thy glory above the heavens. Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings hast thou ordained strength because of thine enemies, that thou mightest steal the enemy and the avenger. When I consider thy heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars, which thou hast ordained, what is man? Thou art mindful of him, and the son of man, that thou visiteth him. But thou hast made him a little lower than the angels, and hast crowned him with glory and honor. Glory and honor. Thou madest him to have dominion over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things under his feet. I want to thank the people of God for reading the word of God in the house of God. I want to share a very relevant and special message this morning, and I want you to please announce this subject with me. Lives matter. Lives matter. Essence magazine just recently printed a very provocative issue. And on the cover of that issue, it says, Black Lives Matter. This issue addresses a discussion that is taking place in this country about race, privilege, and the value of black lives. This is taking place because of the fact that Michael Brown was killed in Ferguson, Missouri. 12-year-old Tamar Rice was killed in Cleveland, Ohio. And Eric Garner was killed in Staten Island, New York. All of these were black men killed by police. And so the question is raised, or the cry is going out, and it's saying that black lives matter. But this cry, this protest, this outcry points to a greater biblical truth. And that is, all lives matter. Amen. All human beings' lives matter. When Cain had killed his brother, God, the righteous judge of the earth, came looking for Cain and said unto him, "Where is your brother?" And Cain replied, "I know not. Am I my brother's keeper?" Cain was wrong on three levels. Number one, he was wrong in that he lied and said he didn't know where his brother was, knowing full well that he had killed him. Number two, he was wrong because he murdered his brother. And number three, he was wrong. He was disingenuous and insensitive because he did not seem to understand that he was his brother's keeper. All of us are our brother's keeper. We can't just live in this world for ourselves. We have to be concerned about the welfare and the well-being of everybody. The attitude ought to be, if I got a piece of bread and you don't have none, then you have some. Is that all right? Because lives matter. Human lives matter. Your life matters. My life matters. I want you to see two things this morning in this lesson. Number one, I want you to see that lives matter. And then the second thing I want to talk about is that souls matter. All lives matter, and all souls matter. The Bible continually tries to get us to believe the right thing. You just can't believe anything, and you just can't believe everybody. That's why the Bible says, "Believe not every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are." A lot of folks are talking. A lot of folks are talking loud and ain't saying nothing. And a lot of people are buying into the hype, the hyperbole, the propaganda, the spin, the exaggeration, the over-exaggeration. Amen. And so the Bible strives to get us to believe the right thing. And of course, the values of the Bible. Let me just give you three values, of abiding values, that the Bible continually tries to press upon. Number one, that first value is follow Jesus at all costs. No matter what it costs you to follow Jesus, you ought to follow Jesus. Amen? Whatever you do, don't turn your back on Jesus. Whatever you do, don't give up on Jesus. Amen? The second value the Bible teaches us is that we must deal with negative issues in our lives that will affect our religious performance. You see, it's negative stuff. In fact, Dr. Spreller and I were talking, you know, everybody got contradictions. Y'all might well go and say amen and praise God. Everybody got contradictions. Amen, amen. But we try to reduce the level of the contradictions. Now, modern psychology says three things about self. It says, accept thyself. It says, know thyself. And it says, express thyself. The Bible has three affirmations about self also that are more important and more valuable than the affirmations of modern psychology. And the Bible's statements about self is examine yourself. Huh? A lot of time we want to confess other folks' sins. I come this morning to confess Sam Wise's sins. And they said, "Well, Moss, what about your sin?" I ain't talking about my sin. No, the Bible says you got to examine yourself. Secondly, the Bible says deny yourself. And thirdly, the Bible says save yourself. Now, you do those three things. You examine yourself. You deny yourself. You can't give yourself everything you want. Praise God. But everything self want ain't necessarily good for self. And somebody got to have some sense in your life. So it might as well be you. Is that all right? Amen? And so the third value the Bible gives us is that decisions can save our lives or destroy our lives. So we have to be very careful about the decisions we make. These are three abiding values of the Bible. Now, Jesus was a master psychologist as well as a master psychiatrist. He was a master storyteller. If anybody understood the human condition, he didn't need a course in anthropology to tell us about man. He didn't need a course in abnormal psychology to tell us about man. He didn't need a course in philosophy to tell us about man, because he knew what was all in man. And Jesus told two great stories that emphasized the fact that lives matter. He told a story of a rich man and a beggar. And these two men were on the different ends of life spectrum. One was very rich, lived very large, dressed well, ate well, lived well. Y'all all right? And then the poor man, Lazarus, was a beggar. Life was very miserable. He was crushed by poverty and sickness. And the record is that the dogs had more compassion on Lazarus than the rich man, because at least the dogs came and they licked his sores. And Lazarus desired to be fed from the crumb that fell from the rich man's table. And the rich man, living in opulence, living in the lap of luxury, didn't even give the man a crumb. So in a sense, to the rich man, Lazarus' life didn't matter. Is that all right? But God is still saying that all lives matter. The rich man's life mattered. And even though a person doesn't have much education and may not have much money, his life matters. He's somebody. I'm going to tell you why that's true in just a moment. But may I tell you another story that the master teacher told? And that was a man went down from Jericho. He fell among thieves and thugs. And they beat him down, and they robbed him, and they stripped him, and they left him half dead. I'm telling you that to these thugs and thieves, that man's life didn't matter. Because they left him on that road bleeding and dying. Amen? Oh, I thought about this week, the barbarism of ISIS. Oh, my God. Unspeakable. They put a man in a cage and burned him alive. To them, lives don't matter. Somebody got to stand up and speak for God. Is that all right? And I'm saying that lives matter. Well, there came along the way a Levite. At least he didn't know. He didn't beat him. He didn't rob him. But he didn't help him either. So in a sense, he didn't care enough about his life to help him. Amen. Then there came a priest. He came and at least looked at him. Yeah, he'll come look at you. Some supposed to come look at you when you're in trouble and then keep on going. You in trouble? Yeah. All right, I'll see you here.
They know you're in trouble, but that's all they're going to do is ask you. Keep going.
Amen. Oh, I remember one night I was broke down. In the middle of the road, they was cussing at me. Get that so-and-so car out the road. I said, well, I'm trying to get it out. Y'all just so mean to me. And then, you know, those folks that be on the highway, just came, young lady came, and Lord, she helped me. You know, sometime in life, help can come from some strange places. Help can come from places you didn't think it was coming from. Because the hero of this story was an unlikely hero. He was the Samaritan. And not only did this man's life matter, he picked that man up and put ointment in his wounds, and he put him on his donkey, and he took him to the inn, and he prayed for his care, and he said, if there are any additional expenses incurred, I will come back and I will pay that as well. And I'm telling you that sometime in life, you know where you are, but you don't know where you're going. Is that all right? And sometime you might say, well, I'm too proud to beg. You just ain't got low enough yet. You get low enough and get hurting enough, you ask somebody to help you. Amen. And so this man came along and he helped him because that man's life mattered. And I'm telling you that people's lives matter because every person here this morning, you may have low self-esteem. You may be counting yourself out, but I'm telling you, you are somebody. And I'm going to tell you, you are somebody because you are made in the image and the likeness of God. Is that all right? I'm telling you, you are somebody. Sometimes you count yourself out. But your life matters. It doesn't matter what folks say. Your life matters because every one of us are God-like beings. We have some God in us. The psalmist said that he has made us just a little lower than God and crowned us with glory and honor. I'm telling you that black lives matter. And we make no apology for that. White lives matter. We make no apology for that. Police officers' lives matter. And I'm going to get a little deeper. Unborn babies in the womb lives matter. Did you hear what I said? And when two people come together in sexual union and a life is created, that's a human life. And the only reason that human life does not reach full potential because somebody interrupts a natural process in the name of my right to choose. Preach, Brother Moss. Is that all right? And I'm telling you that lives matter. Amen. God doesn't care. God cares more about you than he cares about flowers. Did you hear what I said? God cares more about you than he cares about birds. I know the eagle flies in the sunlit heights, soaring on extended wing, but God cares more about you than he cares about that eagle. Is that all right? God cares more about you than he cares about oxen or livestock. Why? Because to you, your life matters. And I want to praise his glorious name, but as Brother Sperling prayed, but let me see another day. He didn't have to wake me up this morning. He didn't have to bring me this far. Amen. If you don't think you blessed, just look in the obituary column. And you will find out you're doing all right. Is that all right? I'm telling you, you're doing all right. God blesses us because our lives matter. Yes, your life matters. Young man, my life matters. Every member of this church, life matters. People, lives matter. Here's my final point, that is souls. Souls matter. Amen. You know, in our thinking, we shouldn't just be superficial in our thinking. We got to go a little deeper. Is that all right? Got to go a little deeper. And when you go a little deeper, you know there are levels of life. Now, My physical life matters. I don't want nobody to just take it away from me. Can you say amen to that? But do you not know there is a higher level of life? We talked about in the Thursday morning class, if you are born twice, you will only die once. But if you are only born once, you will die twice. Now, can I go back and add a little more to that? If you are born twice, you may not die once. Let me explain that. Because if you're born twice, that is physical birth and then being born again by the word of God, amen, then there's a possibility that if this world and the way things going, it may not be there for long. When I look around this world today and see what's happening, I wonder if the end near. Because this world has lost its mind. Praise God. But there's a possibility that if I'm born twice, that I may not even see physical death. But if I'm only born once, that is my physical birth, and I'm not born twice, I will die twice. I'll die physically, and I will die the second death. Amen? Now, so we have to go a little deeper. Because some people will work hard for this physical life. Get up, go to work every day. Don't miss a day. Amen. Work overtime. Go and get another job. Huh? Working because you're trying to make it. And we ain't condemning nobody for working, trying to make it. But we do say this. Jesus rebuked the crowd. He said, you are working for the meat that perishes. No matter how much overtime you work, how many jobs you work, is still limited in what he can do for you. But Jesus says we should work for the bread that endures on the everlasting life. Now, I like bread, y'all. I like Mexican cornbread. I like Morita bread. I like biscuits. And cupcake, yeah, I like my bread pudding. Amen. I like garlic bread. But there's a higher bread. It's called the bread of life. Jesus said, if a man eat this bread, he will never die. Is that all right? He said, labor for the meat that endures on the everlasting life. So I'm telling you, don't just work overtime. Don't just work another job. But you ought to work for some bread that endures unto everlasting life. And let me tell you this. Christ's life mattered. Are y'all here? I said Christ's life mattered. It mattered. It was an amazing life. It was a perfect life. This life didn't have a stain, a flaw, a blemish, a cloud, a defect on it. Tempted in all points, like as we are, yet without sin. A magnificent, amazing life. But watch this. He was willing to lay that life down in order that we might have life. Now, did his life matter? But he gave up his life that I might have my life. Is that right? He said, ain't nobody taking my life from me. I'm laying my life down of my own accord. And I can take my life up again. Listen to the gospel. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 verses 1 to 4. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preach unto you, which also you have received, wherein you stand, by which also you are saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you. For I delivered unto you first of all that which also I received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. He was buried and he rose again according to the scriptures. But he didn't just stay dead. He got up from the grave with the keys of death and hell swinging round his waist. Stood on resurrection ground and said, I am he that once was dead, but I'm alive forevermore. I'm telling you, souls matter. Your soul matter. What would it profit you? You gain the whole world and you lose your soul. I'm telling you, your soul. What would you give in exchange for your soul? Christ's life mattered. And because your soul matters, Christ gave up his life because my soul. What an amazing gift. My God, what has God done for us? And a lot of times we just shucking and jiving when he's done so much for me. I mean, how can I thank him for all of the blessings he's given unto me? Because souls matter, God gave his son. Because soul matters, God has given us an amazing book called the Holy Bible. It's an authoritative book. Because your soul matter, God gave us a book. And I say categorically, this is the greatest book in the world. Ain't no book like it. Amen. This book is in a class all by himself. David said, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. God's word is like a sword that penetrates. It's like a seed that germinates. It's like a light that illuminates. Amen. It's like water that invigorates. It's in a class all by itself. Amen. And because your soul matter, God established a church. It's the church of Christ. It's the church you can read about in the Bible. A lot of churches in this world, but you can only read about one. That's the one I want. The one I can read about in that holy book called the Bible. And I'm telling you that souls matter. That's why we got to be busy about evangelism. That's why we got to keep this ministry going. Because souls matter. Because lives matter. And let me leave you with this as I go to my seat, as I close, and that is this. Somebody said that Christians are like athletes. We like athletes. Said it, I'm like an athlete. Now let me explain that to you. World-class athletes don't dabble in their particular sport. Serena Williams just won her 19th Grand Slam. Girl started out from the playgrounds of Compton, California. Her daddy had a vision, Brother Earl. And he would get tennis balls, read books, taught those girls, Serena and Venus. And I was one of the critics saying, well, you need to get a coach. Yeah. And when those girls won Grand Slams, I shut my mouth. Uh-huh. Richard Williams knew more than I knew. Praise God. But what the point I want to make is this. But that girl works out. She's fit. She gets the medicine ball. She jumps the rope. She pays the price. She's not half-stepping. But a lot of Christians are half-stepping. Amen. Amen. So I can't be a dabbler. I got to be the best I can be. I got to be the best preacher I can be. The best teacher I can be. The best writer I can be. Whatever gifts God has given to me to promote his kingdom, I've got to use it. Amen. So we're like athletes. We can't dabble. We can't dabble. We got to be serious about it. I went and got a magazine this week about the body. And there's a woman in that magazine, 78 years old. And she lifts weights. She runs 10 miles, Harris. She get up in the morning. And y'all think I'm jiving, I bring the information. I ain't making this up. She lifts the weights. 78 years old. She's dedicated. Run 10 miles. Good gracious of life. I could run 10 if I paid the price. You hear that, Lando? Problem is, I ain't been willing to pay it. Y'all all right? 78 years old. But you know, really, it ain't about how old you are. It's about what's in your mind. Is that all right? Then I heard a guy named Vincent Tan make this statement, a powerful statement. He said that, I want you to hear this. He said that people are not time challenged. They are priority challenged. So many of you this morning got up. It was beautiful. You was here at 7 o'clock. 7:45. So it wasn't time. And he said, because I can always get up 30 minutes earlier to do what I want to do. Huh? So really, it's not so much about being time challenged. It's about being priority. You see, if my why gets big enough, I'll figure out how. Are y'all hearing this? I said if my why gets big enough, because your life matters. Your soul. And if the death of Christ doesn't convince you that your life matters, God himself came down from heaven, lived in this world, because Sam Wise, life matters. And he made a promise to Sam Wise that if you seek first the kingdom, I'll make sure you'll have what you need. How many believe that? I'll make sure you'll have what you need. Is that all right? So the conversation as conclusion, the conversation needs to go on about race. That's a conversation we need to have in this country. Amen. And people on the right and the left needs to stop talking at each other and start talking to each other. Is that all right? And I think if we turn down the volume. And as Dr. Kobe said, seek to understand and then to be understood. It doesn't mean I will agree with you or you will agree with me, but at least you'll know where I'm coming from. Amen? Amen. So I'm telling you that lives matter. Aren't you glad about that? Amen. That your life. Said it with me. My life matters. Your life matters. My soul matters. Your soul matters. Amen. And I know that's true because God came down himself to see about us. Amen. And Jesus said that, Brother Sperling, your life matters. And Brother Sperling, your soul matters. Is that all right? And I'm glad that Jesus loves all the little children. All the little children of the world, yellow and black, red and white, they are all precious in his sight. Jesus loved all the little children of the world. But can I go a little higher? But not only does he love the little children, he loves all the people of the world, red and yellow, black and white. All people are precious in his sight. Is that all right? I tell you, because lives matter. Jesus came down from 42 generations. He came down from star to star, cloud to cloud, to his feet touch the ground. Is that all right? Because lives matter, he walked up and down the dusty street of Palestine, opening blinded eyes, making crippled legs, walking twisted limb, straightened at his touch. Is that all right? Because lives matter, he healed the sick and he raised the dead and he became a friend to the friendly. Is that all right? Because lives matter, he went way out yonder on a cross called Calvary. Is that all right? Because lives matter, he got up from the grave, Sam White, early one Sunday morning. Because lives matter, he stepped on a cloud and he went back to heaven and sat down on the right hand of God and is representing us in heaven. Is that all right? Because lives matter, Jesus says, come. Is that all right? Because your life matters. Jesus said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Is that all right? Because of your life, ma'am. Jesus said, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink, and out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Is that all right? Because of your life matter, the spirit and the bride says, come, and he that is athirst says, come, and whosoever will, let him come and take up the waters of life. Is that all right? Because lives matter. Is that all right? Somebody can say, I got a mansion up in that kingdom. Ain't that good news? Is that all right? I'm going to lay down this world. I'm going to shoulder up my cross. I'm going to take it home to my Jesus. Ain't that good news? Is that all right? And because it's good news, God has made a way out of no way. Is that all right? Because my life, Jackie, my life matters. Is that all right? So somebody ought to make a joyful noise to the Lord. Somebody ought to enter into his gates with praise. Somebody ought to be thankful and bless his name. Because my life matters. It don't matter about folks mistreating you. Your life matters. It doesn't matter about folks overlooking you. Your life matters. It doesn't matter about folks not speaking to you. Your life matters. You're somebody. And your life, my life matters. And I ought to live like other folks' lives. Man, love people. Help people. Lift up people. And we'll make a better world by doing just that. I see something happening at this church. I see a spirit here. Do y'all see it? Do you see what I see? I see something happening. I think we're happier. More peaceful, more positive. Brother Harris said in the Sunday school, and he's right. He said, no matter what you're going through, you can always have hope. Amen. Ain't that good news? Amen. Stand on your feet, church. That's the message. If you're here today, and if your life really matters, you ought to accept this invitation. If your soul matters, Do you value your soul? Well, you ought to accept God's salvation. If you value your soul, you will confess your. If you value your soul, you will confess your sin. You won't live in them because you don't know what a day will bring. Amen. Because my life matters. Because your life matters. I still have joy. Oh Lord, I
still have joy.
Oh, after all. Oh, I
still have joy.
Great God, I still
have joy.
Oh Lord, I still
have
you after all.
Oh.